Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom.
And shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom! Happy Sabbath!
Not quite yet. That's tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
I'm ready for it to be now. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for another glorious day. God, today was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water, the Show of Israel, the Commonwealth for Israel. I want to say good evening tonight. Tonight is the Thursday night edition. Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class with our brother Isaiah Fry. And today's precept is mark them that cause division. Mark them that cause division. I mean, you know, the word God tell me to mark those that cause division in one way or another, whether physically or spiritually. You got to be careful with that. You know, those that took it in gang sand, and the gang sand of core. All right? So, with that being said, we're not going to hold it up. We're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
All right, hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got a bit of a... Okay.
You think you muted up?
Hold on. Okay. Yeah, just go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
All right, That ticking is like so close to my ear because I got my Bluetooth on. Let me see.
Okay, Rhea said it could be one of our phones, but it's not the line. Not the line at times. Not Blog Talk. It's one of us.
All right.
Nakomi, could you do something? Could you mute your line? No.
It was Isaiah.
Oh, it's Isaiah line.
Oh,
okay,
really?
That's you.
I'm about to hang up. I'm going to hang up and call back in, okay?
Man, you in there cooking, baby. What's going on with that? Okay, bro, you have to call back in.
I sure will.
All right, bro. That's cool. All right. Well, one, when you think about this, when you think about the idea of gangsaying, oh, people be running their mouth, you know, trying to get, you know, brotherhood point, you know, for the wrong reason. And you got to be careful of that, because that gets you nowhere. That gets you nowhere. That gets you the lake of fire. You know, when you think about it, when you're looking at the gang saying, now people just be talking and speaking of evil things that they don't know or don't even understand. You know, how you going to speak evil of something that the Father haven't even gave you? That's why a lot of times you just got to be still and say, you know what, let me look into that. Don't just say that ain't what it is, because you never heard of it. Or your teacher didn't come out of his mouth over the podium.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
He said, can you please call him on the 2-way
blog talk? Oh, wow. Okay. 1 second. Let me give him a shout.
So tell everybody tonight.
Do not hang up.
I don't hear the ticking. Hey,
okay.
Shalom.
I hear.
All right, people. I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry.
Sound good now.
Okay, good. Okay, all praises. Okay, I'm sorry, family. I apologize for that. I guess this must be my, it was on my end. But grace and peace, family. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the spirit of meekness and charity.
Shalom.
My name is Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson tonight. Hey, shalom, Sissy.
I still hear the cricket on my end.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wow.
Never went through.
Okay, because I can barely hear him. Okay, well, I can hear you loud and clear. Okay, is it bad?
All right, well, let me see if I can take my thing off.
All right, how do you hear me now? Is it okay now?
Okay, you got to mute everybody's line.
All right, hello, tester 123, tester 123. Can you hear me, Brother McCormick? Tester 123, tester 123, can you hear me, Brother McCormick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All praises. All right. Okay, perfect. Cool. Thank you, bro. Shalom, family, grace and peace. I'm hoping everybody is having a wonderful Thursday. Making sure everybody keep their hands clean, and, you know, make sure you take care of yourself during this time of trouble. But the Father's merciful. We can get through this, you know. And thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the spirit of meekness and charity. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson tonight. And my reader is Brother McCormick, a.k.a. Little Israel. And, you know, one more time, the name of the precept is called Mark Them That Cause Division. You see, because our definition of division is different than how God's division is. You know, the Lord God of Israel gave us a certain way on how we should divide one another. But sometimes man voice be heard above the Most High. You know, because if I believe in Yahuwah and you believe in Jesus, you know, sometimes people want to separate themselves. You know, or you just want to do like Yahweh, Yahweh Shai, people want to divide themselves. But that's not how the Most High told us to divide ourselves. He told us how to divide ourselves by saying, mark those that cause division. And during the precept, we're going to understand what this means, because Passover right around the corner. And we're going to also understand that you don't want to take the Passover unworthily. And, you know, if we don't take heed to that, we can take the Passover unworthily.
Because we think it just because you go to class on the Sabbath day, you don't miss a beat on the Sabbath, you know all these great mysteries in the Bible and stuff like that. You know, that's all cool and dandy. But we also have to understand, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, man, that the Lord wants us to defeat this arguing, this bickering, this fighting. You know, we should all be able to love one another and come together with one another. So I'm going to start this out in the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother McCormick can read whatever the Father turns his heart.
Okay, hey, bro, we can hear that ticking before you open up. Hang up and call back in. Just, what you do is just turn off this, just reboot and call back in. We'll wait on you because we want to hear this.
All right, amen.
Reboot. And
okay,
call.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Now,
amen. All praises. How we doing? Can you hear me? Yes.
That clicking is still going. It's clicking still going. It ain't him.
It is still going.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh. But can we get through?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get through the precept?
No, that's not me. If everybody else.
Yeah, Nakomi, do you think we can get through the precept? The way it sounds right now?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mary?
I can hear you clearly, but it's still just that clicking. I can hear, and I heard Nakomi when he was talking.
Okay.
I actually heard Brother Isaiah, but he kicked me out when I first logged in.
Okay, well, it must be everybody must be on right now, or they have a big overload in the system.
Yeah.
Can we get through? Because you loud and clear to me. I mean, I still hear the ticking in the background, but can we get through the precept? That's what I'm asking.
I believe we can because I can hear you too. Loud and clear.
All right. Brother Nakomi, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, we can hear you too. All right, good. I'm murdering them right now. Okay, brother.
Hey.
All right, hey, brother. We just got through doing some quick tests, but it sounds like it's the blog, it's the internet. So, but we can hear. So we're going to go through the precepts. So bring that drama, man.
Okay, for sure, man. For sure. Okay. All right, all praises, all praises. All right, brother, sister, let us face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. And then, brother McCormick, can we read up the Father told his heart? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debts to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And he said unto me in the beginning, when the earth was made, before the borders of the world stood, or ever the winds blew, before the thunder and lightning, or ever the fountains of paradise were laid, the movable powers were established, before the innumerable multitude of angels were gathered together, or ever the heights of the air were lifted up, before the measure of the firmament were named, or ever the chimneys in Sion were hot, and ere the present years were sought out, or ever the inventions of them that now sin were turned before they were sealed that gave gathered faith for a treasure. Then did I consider these things, and they all were made through me alone and be ended, and by none other. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times, or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth? And he said unto me, from Abraham, Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born, of him Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth. I've read 2 Esdras chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, bro. It's a powerful script. Let's go ahead and get into it. Grace and peace, family. It's time for us to get into the scriptures, and I apologize for the delay. But the name of the precept is called Mark Them That Cause Division. Mark Them That Cause Division. Because we need to understand something, brothers and sisters. We really need to understand something. Because we can go through the scriptures and find a lot of interesting things to try to live our life through it. But in order to get the kingdom, the Lord leaves it so basic for us. So now I understand when the Lord talked about gnashing the teeth. Because the instructions are so simple and basic. You know, because the Most High bless you with wisdom, not just understanding, man. You just, hey, show out. Do what you got to do. But the important time is, in order to get the kingdom, man, the Lord wants to see the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the whole thing is that we should be teaching more of the fruits of the Spirit, how to love one another, definitely around this time. Because I truly believe the Lord is flexing his muscle to show us a blueprint of what's to come in the future. So after this whole virus thing passes up, we should be learning how to come close to one another, learn how to grow food, you know, learn how to do normal things instead of waiting for the government or whatever to help take care of whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? It's getting a little rough for us, but we go hold on and get this thing right. So one more time, then the precept is mark them that cause division. Stay away from a person who loves strife and debate. Stay away from people who love arguing. Because according to scriptures, man, the Lord don't want none of that stuff. He don't want none of it. But division, arguing, disagreement, hostility, strife, all that type of stuff, you want to add that in to a certain guy. But the Lord said, I don't want none of that. So if you around people who like to cause strife and debate, who love arguing, who just got to be right, you might want to mark that person and get away from them. I don't care who they are. Because by you listen to the scriptures, then you know it's not what camp you come from. Then you know it's not. Then you got to understand that this whole thing is a national worldwide. Because you might get your own little clique. How many of them strife and debate? How many of them don't know how to take it easy and just let the person get the win? How many people do we know showing the fruits of the Spirit? So this, I really believe that this precept is necessary since Passover is coming up. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Romans chapter 16, And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this thing up at verse 17. Romans 16, and we're going to read verses 17 through 18. And thank God, because this is not a long lesson, so we should be out here on good time too, y'all. So we're in the book of Romans 16, 17 and 18. You get it, Jew? What's the book say?
Romans chapter 16, and pick it up at the 17th. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Oh, so that's that listen to me. I know what's going on. This, that, and the other. We got this thing right. If somebody that, then the other. Did you also know that could deceive you too when people talk like that? With their fair speeches? Because if they're using that speech and you taking heed to it, then that means you're going to learn how to be the exact same way, and you're going to start doing what they taught you. But that's why we read the book of Romans right now in verse 17. It said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division." So what we have to do is find out what the word division means. Because I'm telling you right now, when you read your book, it is urgent to have you a dictionary. You can go. You can use the Merriam is legit. You got your Bible Hub. They give you the Strong's Concordance from the Hebrew to English and Greek to English. And you can really sit down, and there's a lot of other books out there too, but that's just a three on top of my head. But we have, the Most High has allowed us to take hold on definitions of what these words mean. And when you understand what these words mean, then you get a better understanding of what the prophet is talking about, what's written in the pages of the book. So what we're going to do is look the word division up. This is the word division in a noun. And it means disagreement between two or more groups, typically producing tension or hostility. So we have variance. Variance means conflict. Discord means strife. Disagreement and hostility. So we have all these things. So if you're around people who like to show discord and strife and conflict, disagreement, hostility, they just got to be right. They can't take no wrong, and they just want to battle everybody and their mama. I don't care how right he is. That's not the right spirit. So where do we think this come from? Where do all this stuff come from? Let's go to the book of Job 11 and 4. The book of Job chapter 11, verse 4. The book of Job chapter 11, and all we want is verse 4. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job 11 and 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes.
Oh. So it said, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. That's how with their fair speeches they get the people. Because if you got your group of people, and you tell these people your doctrine is pure and you clean in God's eyes, the very first important thing that we must do is find out what the word pure means. So there's the definition of pure in the adjective. It means clean, fresh, crisp, sparkling, unpolluted, unaffected. So if somebody thinks that their doctrine is pure, they think their doctrine is clean, fresh, crisp, sparkling, unpolluted, unaffected, excuse me, unaffected, and they get that spirit of discord, ain't no way in hell you could talk to these people, because they think they understand it's legit. So you can't sit down amongst brethren and try to throw the scripture up. Like, for example, the Bible and the Apocrypha, right? You know, if you don't believe the Apocrypha, I still love you. I don't hate you. But don't beat and abuse people who appreciate the Apocrypha. Because if you think that your doctrine is pure and clean, and all you have is the Bible, when somebody try to show you some scriptures that the apostle is actually going ahead and glove with the scriptures, what you think if they heart ain't right? Oh man, you ain't right. We got this thing right. We know what's going on. We top notch. We got this thing right. You don't get it right. How could you ever come together with your brethren if you think like that? So even if the Lord showed you some great things, you still don't want to throw your doctrine out there saying I'm pure. Man, whatever. Because if you think your doctrine is crispy clean and you got this spirit on you of discord and strife and debate, man, I don't care what you know. The Bible said to mark them and get away from them. It doesn't say hate them or discredit them. And it never say that. But you can humble yourself and go on about your business. But you got to believe this. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure and I'm clean in thine eyes. You better believe that that's also triggering that strife, that debate, that disagreement. Because that person thinks they get it right. You can never show them something. You can never show somebody something that thinks like that. Because I'm letting you know right now, you don't know it all. I don't know it all. Nobody on the Blog Talk Show right now know it all. Everybody has their own percentage that the Most High found suitable and necessary. The Lord gave Brother Nakomi the Bible code and such other great things.
And the Lord gave Brother Joe, you know, the creation and other great things. The Lord gave me the understanding of Urbain and Huber's knowledge and allegories and other great things. We all have our portions. And like Brother Miles, Brother Paul, and the rest of them, Sister Mary and Sister Rhea, they all got their portions. But once you understand you don't know it all, you don't give your chance, you don't give yourself a chance, opportunity for that spirit to come upon you, which is division. It's not a good thing. Now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And all we want is verse 10. And it's not a long piece of something coming, so you can take your time, bro, if you want to, okay?
Okay. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
So when you're taking care of the Most High business, you might be out there on the streets doing your thing, the evangelist work, right? You might be out there doing your thing. Do you honestly believe people are going to want to hear what you got to say if y'all two is saying two different things? So I get an understanding. There's a time for everything under the sun. But one thing you better not be doing is arguing amongst one another and fighting amongst one another. You just got to be right. You got to spike the fist and get all angry and bitter. Anybody in the right mind will want to hear nothing you got to say, because you have just proven that your doctrine is vain. So when we out here doing our thing out and about, we all should be on one accord. I should be saying keep the commandments. The Coleman should be saying keep the commandments. Brother Joe should be saying keep the commandments. Brother Mal should be saying keep the commandments. Brother Paul should be saying keep the commandments. Pharaoh should be saying keep the commandments. Sister Red should be saying keep the commandments. And Sister Mary should be saying keep the commandments. Shouldn't anybody be saying, well, just honor God and forget to love your brother? One accord. Now let's see how this thing checks out. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 11. The book of Luke chapter 11. The book of Luke chapter 11. And all we want is verse 17 and 18. So we can understand how this thing really operates and how the Most High got this thing played out. For the do's and don'ts. Book of Luke 11, 17, and 18. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 11, starting at 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to delusion, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub.
And I really like how the Most High did this thing. It says in 17, but he knowing their thoughts said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? So if evil, wicked, no good spirits have to be in one accord, how much one accord do you think we need to be amongst one another? When Satan and the devil doing their madness and folly, do you think that they arguing with one another? Do you think that they trying to smash and beat down one another? Do you think one is trying to overtake a group of souls from the other? No. They all one accord. I see that this group is stupid. We got a legion of angels. We all can take them. You get your portion, I got my portion. We get your portion. And we can whack this damn place. all one accord. So if wicked and evil spirits are one accord, then how do you think we're supposed to be? And if they are, if the wicked spirits are not one accord, then how could they take care of their madness and folly with the destruction of this world? They won't be able to because they all got to be one accord. One of the reasons angels took down that man and had him going all crazy, they was all one accord, and they all had enough room. And when the Most High cast the spirits out, and they went into the swine, they all was one accord. They weren't fighting, bickering, trying to take one pig. He had thousands of them. There's enough portions for everybody. Let's get them. One accord. So if the wicked spirits got to be one accord amongst one another to get this thing right, then that means the servants of God and those that are trying to get it right must be one accord. Because if they wicked, they got to be one accord, then how much one accord do you think we got to be? How can we be one accord if we got division amongst one another? How can we be one accord if we got strife? How can we be one accord if we got debate? Right? How could you be one accord if you use your own allegories? How could you be one accord with vain and useless knowledge, which means excessive pride and arrogancy? How could you be one accord? How could we do this thing right with if the people that's amongst us got to be the big eyes and little yous? How could we be one accord? How could we stand up as a family? And how could we take care of business and live this messed up world and get through it if we one accord? If we're not one accord, excuse me. Because we need to understand something, brothers and sisters. We really need to understand something. We got to understand and only recognize what God calls division. If a brother believes in apostasy, that gives you absolutely no reason to divide yourself from him unless he's dealing with strife and debate. If a brother or sister decides to wear fringes or not wear fringes, that does not give you the latitude to divide yourself from. The name of the Most High. You might believe in Jesus. I might want to use Yahweh Shai. That gives me no right to divide myself from you because the name that you persuaded of. Why? Because those couple of scriptures we've been reading, the Lord already showed you how to divide yourself. And the things I just mentioned off, the Bible don't speak nothing of it. But what the Bible do talk about is that we should be respecting one another. Every man is respected on a different level, and some men are respected the same way. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Everybody can write the down to me. So why are you worried about what name I'm calling on? What you should be worried about is that if I'm, well, do I have an argumentative spirit? Do I love arguing? Do I love just gotta being right? Do I gotta be the big I and do you gotta be the little you? Those are the things we're supposed to be paying attention to. And basically, the only thing we should be paying attention to. Because according to the scriptures, this is what the Most High is telling us to mark and separate. Separate yourself from these type of people. It ain't got nothing to do with your clothing or name or if you believe in the Bible or the prophet. It ain't got nothing to do with it. They ain't got nothing to do with it. Your friend got on you, on them, or what spirits that's around you. How do they act and behave when they're around you? Do they put on the spirit of God when it's just you and him? Do you see the fruits of the spirit? Do you see love, charity, long-suffering? Or do you see people that like to go around place to place pointing the fingers and laughing and giggling and trying to control everything? That's the best way you put it. I'm trying to stop my cussing. But you know, we don't even know how to do that right. We really don't. So let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. And this is brothers and sisters, pay very close attention to this. Please pay very close attention, brother Nicoma, read this. Very close attention. Because we're going to get the don'ts and the do's out of here. So we look at Isaiah 58. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at 3. And we're going to read verses 3 through 8. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 58, starting at the 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and a acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not the deal that bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy life break forth as the morning, and thine health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall be before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
Whoa! It said, then shall thy life break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth. So maybe the Lord do chastise us with our help sometimes. Maybe that's why the Lord be attacking us. Maybe that's these crazy calls. Maybe the Lord will put that upon us just because we're constantly debating and fighting with the fist. Maybe if he put a cold on us, maybe that'll shut us up sometime, and maybe we can just get a little better. You know, we like going down the street starting the baby. Maybe if I put a cold on him, maybe he won't, you know, he got to stay in the house now. Maybe he'll read some book and understand what I'm talking about. But I'm going to pick this thing back up at 3. It said, wherefore we fasted. Like, why are we fasting? Say they. And thou seest not. So it's saying, why are we fasting? And Lord, you don't see. Did it turn around and say, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Right, so why are we doing all this stuff, Most High? You ain't recognizing it. So when you fast and the situation ain't getting better, if you're afflicting your soul and things just ain't getting better, that's the same thing that happened to us when we're praying. And it looks like, and it seems like ain't nothing happening. It could be the reason, it could be your fruits of the Spirit and how you entertaining them. But they're asking a legit question. Why are we doing all this and you ain't doing nothing? And the reason why is because it is. In the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast thing I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and the acceptable day to the Lord? right? You think I'm asking for stuff like that? But what if the Lord really wanted for us with these fasts? Verse 6. So if you fast the next time, take heed to this, to verse 6. Is it not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? So next time you fasting, we are there 58 verse 6. That's more of an acceptable fast. But right now we're talking about strife and debate. But when you put up a fast, this is what the Lord wants us to see. Now, the Lord wants to see the fruits of the Spirit. He don't want to be trying to see what you trying to flex your muscles on what you know or what you think you know. He ain't interested in that stuff. He's interested in the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and the righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So now God is showing us what he don't like, and then he's merciful enough to show us what he do like. He don't like us trying to puff up on what we think we know. He's more interested in how well we are able to help one another, support one another, love one another, being a friend in need, helping the brothers and sisters through their adversity, going to visit the sick, visit the fatherless, and through the grace of God, if you're skilled enough, make the widow's heart sing for joy. Those is going to give us sure spots into the kingdom. Not the 70 weeks of Daniel, the abomination of desolations, the three heavens. Those are things good to know. But what's going to get you a spot in the kingdom is the fruits of the Spirit and how well you are able to bear them. That's what's going to get us to the kingdom, brothers and sisters. And let's show how we know this. Let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 82. It was 3 through 5, but it's a short one, so we just go ahead and just go through it, Nakoma. We're going to pick this up at verse 1. And we're going to read the book of Psalms, 82, verses 1 through 5. And I'll cut you off in that study, bro.
Psalms 82, starting at the 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will ye judge ye unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I
and
have
now
said,
we understand. Oh, that's good, bro. I appreciate it. I did say six, didn't I? Well, no, Fab is good, bro. Fab is good. I apologize. Right now, take this thing, y'all, brothers and sisters. You know, we just came from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58, told us what God don't like when we fasting, but he showed us what's more suitable to him. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, helping the poor and needy. You know what I'm saying? Helping those that are afflicted. You know, being a brother through people's adversity, being there, being a strong hand for the Most High God and for your people and people that need it. That's what God is, that is what attracts him to us. And that's what the things he want to see. And then what we're doing now is we just went into the book of Psalms, chapter 82. And verse 1 says, you know, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. But then he turned around in verse 2 and said, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Say lie. Didn't the Bible say smiting the fist was wicked? Smiting the fist of wickedness? Smiting is wicked. Trying to prove what you know in an argumentative way is wicked. And it came from Satan the devil. How long are you going to accept the presence of the wicked? And then God is being merciful enough to have this in the Bible to show us how to get the kingdom again. Verse 3. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. That's what's going to get us back that kingdom, brothers and sisters. But what's the problem? Verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. We don't even understand that this right here is the cheat sheet to get back to kingdom and to be in the good graces of God. Now, we talk about a million and multitude of different things. I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with that. But we just read a couple of scriptures on the cheat sheet on how to get back into the kingdom. Well, to get have a strong chance to making it to the kingdom, because only God knows. This is the cheat sheet. The cheat sheet ain't opposing your brothers. Because a lot of us, you know, by mercy's sake, through ignorance, we ignorantly teach brothers and sisters to oppose one another. I understand that some of the people get this thing a little messed up, you know, and a lot of them, you know, they probably teaching what they know. Ain't no way in heck every lesson I hear is an all-on assault on these people. Because they are people too, and they make mistakes just like we do. There is no way that every single thing that come out of your mouth on opposing people is what these people doing. Because we can show you a multitude of scriptures where the Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 25, and the Lord separated the sheep from the goats. The goats was considered wicked, and the sheep was considered righteous. And when the Lord broke down what they was doing and how the goats got the lake of fire and the sheep got the kingdom, the Lord show you cheat sheet again right there. Why are we getting the kingdom? Because you know how to love your brothers and sisters. And when you did it to them, you did it unto me. But you on that side, you hated my guts because you despised the brethren. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So much on how much you know. Because we see you reading scriptures on the cheat sheet. And the things that God told us, that God is showing us what's going to get you the kingdom. A big portion of getting to the kingdom is how we treat one another. And Passover is coming up, brothers and sisters. So if you got this debate in your heart, if you got this smiting with the fist, if you got this pride and arrogancy, don't take Passover. Read the book and then take it the second time the Lord allow you to take it that same year. Because you should be having no stank-ass attitude or these funky, messed up behind, I don't even know what to call it. People with their wine in their hands and them chips in their hand taking Passover. And they got the nastiest, snobbiest attitudes. You can't say nothing to them. And you got the audacity to be taking Passover. But we're going to read a scripture about that in a couple of seconds, brothers and sisters. So once again, this is the cheat sheet with how God is doing what God want out of his servants. This is what he want to do with his servants, brothers and sisters. And praise God, because we're going to it now. Now, let's go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. But we're going to skip down some. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we're going to do, bro, is pick this thing up at 26. It's because, brothers and sisters, I told you I take heed to Isaiah 58, 58. Really take heed to this one right here. The book of 1 Corinthians 11, 26 through 34. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he cometh. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so,
go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come.
Boom! This is what this precept is all about. Since Passover is coming up, we just got another great cheat sheet for these scriptures. Did you not know that you can take the Passover unworthily, brothers and sisters? In Psalm 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and to drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whatsoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So you mean to tell me if you got this messed up person on you, you ain't trying to put forth an effort in trying to get yourself right? If you hunger for strife and debate and spite with the fist and showing all type of pride and arrogance, vain and human knowledge, and use your own philosophy to get the people, you mean to tell me you ain't checking out none of that stuff? You got the nerve to take the Passover? So everybody, mama, so quick to drink the crackers, eat the crackers and drink the blood. But how many of us through the year trying to knock off as much of this flesh as possible? I've lost count on people. I seen a Passover with some stank funk attitudes and got the nerve to go up on the Passover. The Lord said, you unworthy. And it said in 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So if you ain't trying to get yourself right, if you ain't trying to knock off this flesh, if you ain't trying to show the Most High you trying to do something to try to get this thing right, if you ain't doing none of that and you try to take this blood and get the, you eat the crackers, you drink the juice, well, the wine, and you ain't trying to get yourself better, you eat it and drink it damnation to yourself. And 31 says, well, in verse 30 say, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Dead, sick, weak. Make you sit back and think. How can I sick this year? What's going on with me? Have I been weak? Damn it, dead around me. Now, I don't know if it's talking about like a dead, you fall asleep, or if this is talking about sleep like the Matrix, you know, like if like in your heart, like you're not woke to the situation. But I think it's talking about sleep in the ground, but that's up for grabs. I don't know. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That is a very interesting piece right there, because after we just read verse 29 and 30, then it turned around and said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So then, if the Lord doing all this judgment, the Lord got the sheep separated from the goats, the Lord doing all this stuff, then it's obvious that the people who claim they know God ain't been judging themselves. You too busy being nosy as hell.
worrying about what everybody else and mama doing instead of you focusing on yourself and how to get yourself right. I've been this thing since I was 15 years old. McCormick said he just scratching the surface. I'm trying to reach your arm up. So I ain't got no time to be worried about what nobody else is doing. But one thing I do know is charity covers a multitude of sins. And if you have a chance, opportunity to talk to people, then just do that. But you better believe, everybody on this Blog Talk show and the people that's tuning in listening, I'm telling you, you have way too much of this flesh in this westernized world to be worried about what anybody else is doing, including myself. But the Lord can check our heart and see what we're doing to see if we're really judging ourselves, trying to get it right. Man, I said he was bogus that time, man. I'm trying to get it right this time. Man, I slipped again, man. This is hard, but I'm going to try to do the best I can in the situation I'm in. Lord be like, okay, well, he's judging himself. He's trying to get this thing right. I gave him time. Let's see what he going to do. But what if you're the type of person to be like, they always late coming to class on a Saturday. I told them to quit eating that pork chop about 2 years ago. They still eat, man. They going to the fire. What you doing reading all that apostle, man? Don't you just read the Bible, man? You're just so concerned with everybody else and their mama doing. Well, who is really sitting back and considering what they're doing? 34. Well, Well, let's pick this up. I'm going to read verse 32. I'm going to go read back down because I want to really break some things down to the most common denominator. So this is 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So it's not saying that you are able to do every single thing you possibly can for the afflicted and needy or your brothers and sisters. All God is saying is to do the best you can with your brothers and sisters and those that's in need. Just do the very best you can. I take care of the rest when I come. That's 100. It don't get no better than that. You know, I got $10 in my pocket, man. I can give you a couple of dollars. You know, if I ain't got a couple of dollars, need some clothes, man. I got some clothes I ain't got to clean. You know, we eat a T-bone steak, but I got some meat and some canned goods up in the house. So just do your part. The Lord will take care of the rest of it. You can't beat that. Let's just take care of the Lord business and do the best we can. Let me try to get the thing right. And stop worrying about what everybody else and mama doing. Trying to argue and fight and debate and all that kind of stuff. It ain't going to get you nowhere. Because reading the Bible to show you it ain't going to get you nowhere. It ain't going to get you nowhere. And people who understand the mark thing that caused division better get away from them. Because we should understand this too, brothers and sisters. Those are spirits. Spirits lash. Why did the Bible say don't make friendship with a mean man or you learn his ways? Because that spirit will cop right on you too. And now y'all both some angry, mean, bitter people. So stay away from it. Now let's go in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Because we just read it in the scriptures. These people have been taking the path. These people have been eating this bread and drinking this wine unworthily. Right? So this ain't talking about somebody that's just out there on the streets or the Sabbath, on the Sunday classes. You better believe that this is talking about the people who've been playing church. Everybody want to play church and act like they're serving God and get high fives from their big teachers. I prefer to get my high five from Most High. But remember, we just read in 1 Corinthians 11, man. They've been taking this thing unworthily, man, and it's time to pay up.
So we're in the book of Matthew's chapter 7. And what we're going to do, Brother McCombie, is pick this thing up at verse 21. And what we're going to do, Brother McCombie, we're going to read from verses 21 to 23. And that's all we need for this. You get it? Go ahead and read.
Matthew's chapter 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Right. So I don't understand how on earth could we possibly get, you know, a Sunday school teacher better this, because what devils are they actually casting out? You know? And for two, you better understand it's talking about us. You can be blasting wisdom, knowledge, understanding all you want. You can helm yourself like a lettuce so you can't get instructions from other people that that God might have sent them to you. You might kept the Sabbath day all your life. Ain't nothing unclean. Did great with the abomination of desolation. She did all them great things to perfection. And still find your ass tossed face first in a lake of fire. It's because, I said it before, I said it again. Those things I just mentioned ain't enough of an identifier to prove that person as a servant of God. Why? Because the Pharisees perfected the Sabbath day. And I guarantee you, the Pharisees in this Bible will blow us out the window when it comes to keeping the Sabbath day holy. The dietary law, I guarantee the Pharisees will blow us out the window with the dietary law. The laws of Moses, they will slaughter us with perfection. They did that with perfection. But Jesus Christ still came in the flesh and said, what? Do what they say, but be not like them. The Lord also said, our righteousness better exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So you got to think about it. They perfected all the stuff we're talking about. They perfected the dietary law. They perfected the Sabbath day. They perfected the laws of Moses and all other kind of stuff. They perfected all of that. So you need to sit back and consider, what do God mean about exceeding their righteousness? The fruits of the Spirit. The only way to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is through the fruits of the Spirit, because the fruits of the Spirit will determine if you're serving a God or not. Not on how much knowledge you think you know. Because the Pharisees love arguing. Some of us love arguing, love debating. Can't take a L, got to win. Just got to be right. Sweat and blood shot red in the eyes by screaming and yelling at people just because they don't believe what we believe in. Let's stop it. Pass over right around the corner. But they didn't get the kingdom. God never said they were lying. These people was doing it. It wasn't enough to make him to the kingdom. Take heed to that. Why? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1, and I have one more after this. The book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this thing up at verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 through 22, and then we're going to skip. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Romans 1, starting at 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Why? Because they think they're wise because they know that knowledge. But you can still be a fool. Because you got to be a damn fool if you think that this knowledge you banging is enough. It's not enough, because the Pharisees was doing it too. It ain't enough. Knowledge isn't enough. It's just something good to know. Because 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God hath showed it unto them. I showed you the fruits of the Spirit was greater than your knowledge. I showed you that. But when we read that, we just attack and stab and abuse and swing the Sunday preacher under the bus. He ain't talking about them. He's talking about us. You might get a couple of them playing church stuff like that, but this is talking about us. Because you can go anywhere you want to, you have a whole bunch of scripts on knowledge. But how many of us is trying to die and do what's right for the brethren? Where's the love? Ain't no love. All we have is clicks. I'm tired of these clicks. And once you understand what this book is talking about, you have a clear understanding when God said, they mouths must be stopped. We can talk knowledge all day and night. That don't mean a damn thing. It means nothing if you ain't got the fruits of the Spirit. But if you think it's your knowledge, brothers and sisters, say, whoa. If you think your knowledge is going to get you into the kingdom without these fruits of the Spirit, you are sadly mistaken. Skip down to 32, and we got one more after this, bro. Verse 32.
For knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Right. So when they be up there with that debating and showing discord among brothers, and when it got the people pointing fingers, we doing this thing right. Hey, everybody. Hey, man, yeah, you right. Go ahead and teach. Go ahead and teach. You know you right. Go ahead. They have pleasure in that stuff. They love seeing it, lusting to see strife and debate. But instead of humbling yourself and hoping to God that the Lord is to reveal this thing to them, to strengthen them and show them how to do this thing right. Ain't nothing funny about somebody going to the fire. Ain't nothing funny seeing somebody in error. When the hell did this stuff ever become funny? When do it make you want to clap your hands that somebody is suffering because they're doing something wrong? When has that been fun? What's funny about that? Ain't nothing funny about that. But we love it. We have pleasure in seeing debate, whispering, smiting with the fist, lusting after the philosophy of men, vain and hubris knowledge. Men's allegories. of taking heed to the Most High. And roll your sleeves up and love your brothers. I want y'all to love one another. I want y'all to gather yourselves together. I want you to become a group, a group of people who are able to take care of the poor, the afflicted, those that's in need. Y'all come together and y'all love these people. Because if you do that, then these people know that God is in you. And I bless you and I be with you. But how can God do this for us if we get too many men in front of us bumping their gums? Woofing. It's impossible. Well, I ain't going to say it's impossible. Because the Lord will take care of this work regardless of anything. So we be mindful for that. We got one more spot. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. This is last. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 22. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And what we're going to do is read verses 22 through 25, and this will be last. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
First Peter chapter 1, starting at 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen. All praises. I don't even have to rephrase this because this is plain English. Plain English. So the Lord wants us to come together. So when you're taking that Passover, brothers and sisters, you still got time before Passover to drop. Get as much of those wicked fruits of the Spirit out of your body. I ain't talking about remembering the Sabbath day, keep it holy. I ain't talking about the dietary law. I ain't talking about none of that stuff. But I'm talking about if you got pride, you got arrogancy, you like smiting with the fist, you like division. Well, basically, that's all the same thing. We still got some time. So if you're a brother or sister that's fighting this spirit, ask God to deliver you from this division spirit, causing division. Because like I said, brothers and sisters, a lot of us might be doing it in ignorance. You know, we parakeet. You know, we preach what we've been taught. But I'm telling you, pride ain't a good thing, and I don't give a damn how much you think you know. The Lord can still use other people to show you how to get closer to him. Don't hem yourself up like a lettuce. The Bible said we got one teacher, and that teacher is Christ. Okay? So name this precept is called Mark Them That Cause Division. And through the grace of God, I hope we understand a little bit more on how we should be doing this Passover which is coming up. Let's get that division out of our heart, brothers and sisters. And I thank y'all for your time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Isaiah.
Wow.
Amen.
The Father's merciful. All praise to the King.
That's right. All praise to the King.
All praises. I turn things over to Brother Job, Sister Will.
Yeah.
Well, amen. We got the lines open. Anybody have any comments or they would like to add to it, feel free.
Well, I would like to just add a little something to the division. It also states that it's conflict, discord, and dispute. Like you said, brother, starting trouble.
Starting
that was a good
trouble.
Lesson.
Hey, Amen, sister. Thank you for that, your add-on.
And good greeting, brother, to call me. You guys fall through the click. I love y'all.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, but I said, man, Nakomi was a black version of Max McLean on the Bible audio.
You
so that was some
that.
Dang good reading.
Very proud of you guys. Okay. You talked through that. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say, man, that I'm glad you brought that up about taking the Passover unworthily.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of us believe we ain't even supposed to be taking the Passover in this world, but I got to consider the fact that our father was in Egypt when we first took it. And what was Abraham when Melchizedek presented him the bread and wine? You know what I mean? So, hey, stop. My thing is that when you said that, man, that pricked my heart that I'm hoping that I'm worthy. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I'm hoping that I'm worthy to take it for the things that I've committed or thought throughout the year. You know, it's not just about the brother, you know, a brother, you know, it's about myself. That's really what time it is, man. If you check in your own grill, if you check in your own house, man, you're too busy cleaning up your grill to be worried about cleaning up somebody else's. You know, you got enough dirt in your mess going on in your house than anybody else. So I mean, you can only bring suggestions, man. You know, that's what it's about. You know, Moses was he brought the teaching, but it was up to you whether or not you wanted to keep them or do it you, or if you wanted to participate or do whatever the Father called you to do. And then you did it according to what He gave you. Not everybody get that. The understanding that a Nakomi have or you have. You know what I mean? Not everybody got that. Some of us just got the Sabbath day.
Amen.
You know, but the Lord gives them that natural humility thing, that natural thing to want to help everybody. I don't care what situation they in or whatever. You know, but this person, just because he can't crack book open, you know, he ain't esteemed. You know, people think because you got a
Go ahead, bro.
And you can quote scripts or crack the book open, man, that you a big thing in before. No, more times than not, all you doing is parakeeting, you know, something you heard already, you know, and a lot of the things, like you just brought up, man, that was investigation. You know, what Nakomi brought up yesterday, that's digging in a book. That's searching out those things. Somebody brought up, I was talking to his brother earlier, Steve Jobs, have mercy on his fam. You know, he lost his pops yesterday. But, Nakomi bring up that thing about the secret thing, you know, that's from God. You know, and then what Steve brought up, said, yeah, the secret thing, the secret place of the Most High is the Word and Him. You know, so how you in the secret place of the Most High unless you are in the Word? And if you're in the Word, you know better than high pride upon yourself because you can see Him. You like to fear the Lord in the beginning of wisdom. Obviously, Jack, you chill. You know better to even hide that thing. And then I just want to say this last thing. When you read Numbers, I think it's 17, when he talks about a king should multiply horses and wives unto himself, you know, and things like that. But also in that same verse, he said he should take the book of the law and write it with the whole book with his hand so that he will not lift himself above his brother. This book, if you read it from Genesis to Revelation with understanding, like your brother Nakomi said, with understanding, you won't be lifting yourself up.
Amen.
Because the book of the law convicts you, man. He'll show you that. He'll show you your sins and that he's God. He's the Holy One of Israel. You're not. You better hope he have mercy on your nonsense and the way you think and what's flying out of your mouth. You know, and you know we need some of that mercy every day, right? So, amen, great precept. way to go in on that vain and hubris knowledge, man, before the Passover, and bringing us back in another. Not just to take this one here, but also consider that you got next year you got to consider. You know, you getting prepared for the next Passover. You know, God willing, we live. You know, we got to be mindful we doing that. So I yield a mic with that.
Amen, bro. And thanks, Sister Mary, for bringing that the rest of that definition too, sis. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, big bro. Shalom.
Great lesson, great lesson. I'm saying, God said, he said, the peacemakers shall be the children of God and be called the children of God. But we got to understand about all these separations and people, like saying, trying to bring a bunch of strife. And like I said, the scriptures, when you deal with the scriptures with true understanding, you should never be that way. I'm going to give a reading from Ecclesiasticus chapter 28 and 2. And this is dealing with people that's having that kind of spirit. But God's telling you need to check yourself in this if you really think about it, because the Bible going to reveal you ain't all that. So I'm going to go into Ecclesiasticus chapter 28, and I'm going to start it at the 2. And it says this: forgive thy neighbor the hurt that he hath done unto thee, so shall thy sins also be forgiven when thou prayest. So he said, you need to forgive people so you can be forgiven when you prayest. One man bear hatred against another and do a seek pardon from the Lord. He said, you bear hatred against one of your brothers and you think you're going to get some pardon from God? You seeking pardon from God? He said, he showeth no mercy to a man which is like himself. And do he ask forgiveness for his own sins? Say, so you're looking at somebody just like yourself. You don't want to give some mercy to somebody when we all need mercy. All of us going to need the same thing as mercy. He said, you ain't ready, you ain't willing to show mercy with somebody just like you. And then you're going to ask forgiveness for your thing. You want people to feel for you, but you don't want to feel for somebody else. Ain't the way to be. But I'm going to read on. If he that is but flesh nourished hatred, who will entreat for pardon of his sins? Remember thy end and let enmity cease. Remember corruption and death and abide in the commandments. Remember the commandments and bear no malice to thy neighbor. Remember the covenant of the highest and wink at ignorance. He said, man, just let it go. Wink at their ignorance. Just because somebody knows, if you know better than you above, what you tripping about somebody that don't know nothing? That reminds me of the story of Jonah. Jonah wanted all them people dead. God said they turned from their thing. Hey, man, you want to kill 120,000 people, man, because you tripping? They turned. I had to come chase you. They listened the first time. I had to come chase you, but you want all of them to die. So they didn't tell you, talk to them. They know they left and right hand. And you all want them to die. See, that spirit ain't new, people. That spirit has always been there. But he said, but you know what? He said, remember the covenant of the highest. And we just wink at the ignorance and let it go. Have mercy. Be a peacemaker. With that, I yield the mic.
Ooh, that was juicy. if you would have read that one for the beginning reading, you know good and well I would have got that latched on to the precept too, bro. That's juicy stuff, man. Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, Sister Rhea.
Shalom, shalom, family, grace and peace. That was an awesome, awesome lesson. We needed that, and I'm glad you brought up the Passover. And I'm just going to say thank you, Jesus, for thank you. You just broke some yokes off of me. I've been really upset about some things, and I'm like, Lord, I need to take this Passover, and I got to let stuff go. And I'm looking at this woman in the mirror, and it ain't nothing nice. And thank you, Brother Nakomi, too. That lesson last night, prophecy was off the chart. You guys are really breaking yoke. And I thank the Lord that, Brother Nakomi always reads that scripture, work 10 times harder. And I was telling my husband the other night, I was like, you know, we do things behind closed doors, behind the scenes, and that's awesome. That's great. But also that 10 times harder. I'm like, baby, do you know that you and I are on the lessons like every night? Like, we're listening to everybody's lesson, and I'm getting so fed, and I'm getting so, like, shaky, too, at the same time, like, nervous but happy. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus, for breaking yokes, because I need this. I need this. So obviously he has me on everybody's lesson every single night because I need it. So thank you. Thank you guys for taking out the time to put these precepts together. You could tell that you're really, really allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and to use you. And when you do that, then you're able to minister to us and break yokes off of us. So thank you for being that light. I just appreciate it. Thank you so much, brother.
Amen.
Good reading, Prince.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's Black Max McLean. Black version. His voice get deep on the serious part. He let it sound up. I'm like, woo, boy. I couldn't even let him stop reading. I kept trying to cut him off. I'm like, no, you know, just keep going, bro. Amen. Great reading.
Oh, praise. Well, it don't look like anyone had their hands up, Prince. You want to give us a closing comment before we wrap it up for the night?
Well, you know, just take heed to the scriptures, you know. It's a short one, you know, so in case if you're doing some cleaning up, you know, you're on a break, lunch break or something, you know, just tune into the Bible lessons, you know, to soundslivingwater.com. And definitely, you know, just really that division thing, you know, just consider that, because that's a spirit that's lurking around us. And we are not considering it. You know, we can talk about adultery with a man sleeping with a woman, with a man and wife all day and night. But what about this other spirit? You know, it's a multitude of other spirits that the Bible speaks of that we're not really considering. So the grace of God, maybe this help you go further with your studies.
Amen.
You know, and to really understand, boy, love it. In fact, let me read something since we're talking. Let me read something here. I'm going to go to the book of Job, chapter 1. The Lord said there was none greater than John, right? And the meekest man was Moses. David was a man after God's own heart. But God called this thing we're about to read perfect. So y'all go there. I'm gonna pull up the definition of the word perfect.
Amen.
I get it. I get the definition. We got a lot of stuff. Ooh, we got this huge definition. All right, so brothers and sisters, we're in the book of Job, chapter 1, all right? And let's really look and consider what God is talking about here. So let's read this right now. We're in the book of Job, chapter 1. It said, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed of evil. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, remember that word perfect, and an upright man, one that fear of God and is true of evil. Now what we're going to do is, now God called this man perfect, right? Like I said, the Bible said that David was a man after the Lord's own heart. Praise God. Moses was the meekest man amongst the whole world. Praise God. There's none greater than John the Baptist. Praise the Almighty Father that's sitting in third heaven in Jesus' name. But God called Job perfect. So what we're going to do is look the word perfect up. And this is the definition of perfect in the adjective. And it means having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be.
Mm.
And it also means model, best, flawless, ultimate, superb, excellent, wonderful, beautiful, magnificent, matchless, second to none, beyond compare. Ooh, absolute, complete. And real. Right? So God is calling this man flawless. So he's saying Job is a flawless and a righteous man. Flawless. Good as he can get, I can pull him up and he's that. But why did God call him that, though? You see, because we go through the scriptures, but we don't really consider. Why is God calling? Why did God call him? What did Job possibly do in his lifetime to be called perfect? Some think his patience. That's good. It ain't taking that from him. But I think it was something greater than that. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Job chapter 4. And it's always good to hear it come from another man's mouth than you boasting it yourself. So let's look at what Eliphaz said about Job. So we're in the book of Job chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we assay, and the word assay means attempt, right? So if we attempt to commune with thee, then thou be grieved. But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholded him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? So what was the righteousness ways of Job? By helping those that are in need. Strengthen the weak hands. If you go to the story of Job, he even has skill on making the widow heart sing for joy. Bible also said in the book of Job that when he came into the when the poor seen him, they gathered themselves together to him as if he was their father, because he loved them and took care of them and defended them and broke the jawbone of the wicked for messing with those that was in need, the less fortunate. That is why God called Job a perfect and upright man. And guess what? We didn't hear nothing about the Sabbath. We didn't hear nothing about the knowledge he knew. It wasn't about the feast. It ain't wasn't about all that. God called Job a perfect man because he know how to love one another. He really showed great love towards the brethren. So with that, I yield the mic.
Amen. Thanks for that encouragement, bro. A lot of us look perfect, man, and we think that, you know, nobody can be perfect. Only God is perfect. But when you look at the definition of perfect, it's exactly what you said, you know, being mature and skillful in a word as well, you know, and understanding. So great, 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 great encouragement. We want to thank our brother Nakomi for reading for our brother Isaiah, Nation of Peace of Israelites. We catch him
next.
All praise. That's every Wednesday night here at the Sounds of the Living Water with the Nation of Peace. That's a brother Nakomi bringing that kingdom state of mind.
State of mind.
That's right. And you can catch your brother here, Isaiah, every Wednesday night with the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class. You can catch him every another great chapter for that book, Hubris Knowledge. You know, that book is getting bigger and bigger, man. I can't wait for the next chapter. Tomorrow evening, you got the Commonwealth of Israel. We're dealing with this myself, Job Israel and Maria Reyes Israel. We're going to be here with the second part of that, the brotherhood. Right. And then on the Sabbath day, once again, the Commonwealth, you got, we're going to be dealing with the brethren.
Amen.
Okay. That's a whole different conversation, people. So I know we think you're dealing with the brotherhood. No, the brotherhood is what your brother just got through dealing with, how we're supposed to serve and love one another. You know? That's brotherhood.
Oh, brother, yeah, I forgot one thing, too.
What's that, Jew?
Also remember, a brother is born for adversity.
Mm-hmm. Water of affliction.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, he's supposed to go with you. Either he's going to be an adversary or he's going to be with you through your adversity.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's manifold. Yeah, big ups on that reminder. That was from the throne. So the brethren, we're dealing with them spirits, man, the angels, good and evil. So that's in the Sabbath day. And don't forget, the Sabbath Eve, you got Brother Horace Miles. You know, the Sabbath day is still relatively long, y'all. So don't get it twisted. Miles come on, man. He going to walk us right into the first day of the week. You know, and he finished up the Sabbath. He put the icing on the cake. You know, he got a way of covering everything that we talked about for the entire week. You know, for some reason, he just got a way of covering all the bases. So you want to catch him every Saturday evening at 7:00 p.m. Central Standard Time at the Sounds of Living Waters Blog Talk Radio Show. You want to be there for that. So that's, once again, that's Horace Miles, Yah's Global Kingdom. So you want to be here for that. And, you know, with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for your time. So we know that your time is priceless. Thank you for taking the time out to listen and to spend it with us. That's encouraging in itself, man, that you even think to even share your time with us. We want to thank you for that. And we hope we encourage someone and edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read the Bible.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.